We are doing Pirkei Avot, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, which in some versions of the Mishnah and the Sidur, it is written as Mishnah Tet Zayin. It begins, Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Rabbi Ishmael tells us the following. Hevekal, make yourself light, larosh, when you're standing before someone of importance. If you're standing before a great rabbi, don't think, oh, I'm this businessman, I'm this, I'm that. You're there to learn from him. So make light of yourself. If you could assist them in any way, then you should. You're going to gain from it. I told you guys, I think, the story. How did I get into Mordechai Eliyahu's house so often? When I knock at the door, the first thing I do is offer to take out the garbage. I was their garbage man. Every time I came with a question, I was their garbage man. So the wife knew me. The chief rabbi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, he should have a refuah shleima. Whenever I'd come to their house, I'd take out the garbage. And the Rebbetzin, of course, says, no, don't take out the garbage. And I say, yeah, come on, I'm a young man. For me, what's the big deal taking out the garbage? But you know what I gained from taking out that garbage? I'd get into their house, I'd see what was going on, I'd hear what was going on, I'd get all my questions in. What? Chief Rabbi of Israel, sure. So how did I get to talk to Rav David Feinstein often? I'd be his driver. I would bring a car to the Lower East Side for the sole purpose of driving him when he needed to go places. And I'd let him know when he needs to get places, I'm there, the car is there, you should just let me know. And that's how I got to do it. Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal, I was his mailman sometimes. He'd have to send mail. He didn't have time to get to the post office and put it there. I'd bring him his mail. You got to find out where you could be of assistance to these people. And that's what the Rabbi Shmuel is telling us. Make light of yourself next to them. Be happy to serve them and you'll gain from it. They're busy. They have a lot to teach and you have a lot you could learn from them just by being in their presence. I remember the first time I got a ride together with Rabbi Feinstein. So he got into the car. He gets into the back seat and he goes to the middle back seat where there's a hump, where no one wants to sit. We were all standing outside wondering how we'd set up the seating. So he automatically took the worst spot in the car and said, guys, come on in. I once gave him a ride and I left the safer on the seat. So I left the safer on the seat. So he gets into the front seat and he sits down. After a minute, he realizes he's sitting on a safer. So he didn't want to embarrass me because what am I doing leaving a safer where he's supposed to sit? So when he took it out, he said, gee, it's such a pity. I won't get to learn it that way. By sitting on it, it doesn't enter my head. What can I do? From the little things you could learn from a person. So Rav Ishmael tells us when you're next to someone great, so make light of yourself. Don't feel like you're an important person. Make light of yourself and be open to learning from them. V'noach l'tishchoret. But when you're dealing with some youngster, so then take it easy. This is the balance. Don't make yourself like, oh, I could learn from everyone. If you're there with someone who's just a young man, so then there you should take it a little bit easier. Don't make so light of yourself. You don't have to go to your next door neighbor's house and knock on the door and say, look, I'm just starting to learn about Judaism. Let me just take up your garbage for you. That's not the idea. No, if you want to help him with his garbage, fine. But when the Tana said make light of yourself, he said it specifically by Rosh, by the top people. And then he tells us the balance, v'noach v'tishchoret, and be at ease, so to speak, when it comes to youngsters, people who are tishchoret, comes from the word shachol, those whose hair is black, those who are still young. Ve'vei mekabel et kol ha'adam b'simcha. And you should always greet every person with joy, with happiness. It doesn't matter if he's the greatest rabbi of Israel or the youngster. You should always greet him with happiness. People sometimes think, if I'm talking to a great rabbi, so I can't smile, I can't be happy. I always used to say that Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal, the chief rabbi of Israel, Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arav, I said people should come to yeshiva just to see his smile. Whenever someone would come to him with a question, the first thing he'd do is he'd greet him with a smile. He had a smile that just shone like the sun. You'd think, someone's such a big rabbi, where does he have time to smile like that? No, first thing he did when you'd come to him was he'd smile to you, you'd think you were the most precious person in the world. The Mishnah tells us every person you greet, a person is supposed to greet with happiness, with joy. Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Schok v'kalut rosh, lightheadedness, joking around, margilin le'erva. They accustom a person to doing things that are improper, ultimately leading a person to improper behavior with women. That brings a person to doing things that are improper. Elva means uncovering things that should be covered, which really means living with women one shouldn't live with. The idea is that there are things that everyone admits are immoral, but everyone wants to do them. So when a person takes life seriously, So then a person also takes what is sin seriously. How do we get ourselves to do things that are wrong? We really want to do it. But if we sit here and we think, gee, what should I do? What's right? What's wrong? What do I want to do with my life? What will I gain from it? What will I lose from it? I'm never going to end up doing it. But I want to do it. So the first thing I do is I make jokes. You'll notice that sometimes people come, they hear a shir, they walk out, they crack a joke. Why do they have to crack a joke? Because if I don't crack a joke at what I learned, then I'm obligated by what I learned. So once I make a joke, once I make light of it, so then, don't be so serious. What you taking life so seriously for? What do you mean? This is what we're here for. So Rabbi Kiva tells us, when a person is accustomed to making jokes, to being lightheaded, that makes a person accustomed also to doing improper things with arayos. Now, why is arayos the main point? Because, like the Rambam writes, why did Aristotle refuse to accept Judaism? The Rambam writes that the greatest philosophers composed their philosophies primarily to maintain their individual rights. A person feels like, if I'm going to accept that the Torah is true, then I won't be able to do what I want. I want to go with every woman I meet on the street, or every woman that I'm attracted to. I don't want someone else to tell me, or God to tell me, this is right and this is wrong. I want to eat what I want when I want. The Rambam says it's primarily arayos. It's primarily the attraction to women that drives a person not to want to accept the truth. Why wasn't he Jewish? If he was so smart, why didn't he attain the real truths? So the Rambam says, even though he was so smart, and there's a lot that we do learn from Aristotle, what kept him from hitting the correct bottom line? The Rambam says, him and all other philosophers, it's their desire. And so the philosophies were framed around where they wanted to go. If a person would discard what he wants for a period, and focus really on what is the truth, he would get to the right place. But we don't want to discard it. So the easiest way to get back to arayos is by making fun of wisdom in general, being lightheaded, being joking. We're not talking about happiness. Notice, there's simcha and there's chok. Simcha is happiness. Happiness is positive. You can't attain Torah without happiness. You can't attain prophecy without happiness. That's simcha. Then there's chok. Chok is joking around. That's not happiness. It's two different things. Now, the same thing is also, how do guys get girls? I assume I don't have to teach you. You know better than me. But you go to a bar, you take a drink. Why? Because ordinarily we have inhibitions. We're not going to do the things that we might end up doing if we're lightheaded. If we drink a little bit, if we joke around, if we just talk, just chat. That's how we lead to sin. So Rabbi Kiva says, what are the steps to getting there? It's lightheadedness. It's joking around. That's what gets a person accustomed to things that bring him to erva. Yes.
Is that what is mentioned in Mitzvah Zisharim? To do with leitzim, do with lightheadedness.
Yeah, leitzim and schok is very similar. Yeah. We're continuing. Masoret, our tradition about how to read the Torah. Siag la Torah is a great protector to the Torah. So that's a little bit complicated. We have a tradition on how to read the words, and then we have the nekudos of the words. The way it's spelled and the way it's read are sometimes different. So the tradition that we have on the difference of spelling and reading is a great protector for the laws, because from this difference we can derive many of the laws that we wouldn't be able to do it if we didn't have the tradition. That's one understanding over here. Okay, this is a mission that, should we finish it or pause here? Let's try to finish it. Ma'asrot siag le'osher. If you want a protector for wealth, then give off your tith. Our sages tell a beautiful story about a guy who was very wealthy, and when he gave over his inheritance to his child, so he told him, just do me a favor, be careful to give over your tith. Take off that tenth. The kid was stingy, and he didn't give off his tith. So let's say that he had 100 fields. After a short period, he ended up with 10 fields. So his father's friends came to him and said, how'd you do this with your father's real estate? How'd you end up so poor? Were you careful giving the tip like your father said? So the son said, I'll tell you the truth. No, I wasn't. So they said, that's why you ended up this way. God says, you give me my tenth, I'll give you yours. You say you keep the tenth, so I'll leave you only with the tenth. You had 100, God left you with 10. If you don't give God his, he'll ensure that you want his, that's all you'll have. So our sages have on tradition from the verses we derive that a way to attain wealth is by ensuring that one gives his tip the way he should. Ma'asrot, giving the tip, is siag l'osher, as a protector, is the fencing of wealth. Nidarim, vows, are siag l'prishut. They are a way of protecting a person from sin. So when a person sees that he's about to sin, then at least people who value their vows, that's not us. But in the times of Chazal, taking a vow is a way of protecting one from sin. Boaz awakens in the middle of the night and he sees Ruth lying next to him. Ruth says, spread your wing over me. Boaz says, wait a second, we shouldn't do this like this. We have to go and get married legally. We have to do things right. But I can't send you home in the middle of the night. So Boaz says, I swear by God's name, nothing's happening here tonight. Tomorrow we're going to go to court, deal with things the way we should. Our sages say, why did he swear by God's name? Because he knew himself. He knew that throughout the night he might very easily be overtaken. But he also knew how fearful he would be of a vow. That's a man of Boaz's stature. For people of that stature, taking a vow protects them from sin. So, nidarim, taking a vow, is a protector for holding one back from sin. But that's only people who really value vows. We don't. So I don't think this would work for us. Siag la chokhma shtika, a protector for wisdom is silence. We're not talking about silence from learning Torah. We're talking about you're sitting in a staff meeting, you're coming and your boss is expanding on what the company is about to do. You're very often far more appreciated for your silence than for your input. A person who's silent is very often treated as wise. When you need to, you'll say something. But Chazal told us, Milta bechad, if a spoken word is worth one, shtikuta betrein, then silence is worth double. Silence is worth two. More often than not, silence is more valuable than speech, provided that you don't have something very, very important to say. If we're talking about speech in Torah, so that the speech is a mitzvah, so there one is supposed to say as much as one can when it comes to learning Torah, provided that it is the right setting. So what did we learn today in Mishnah Yud Bet and Yud Gimel? In Mishnah Yud Bet, we learned Rabbi Yishmael told us that when it comes to someone who's great, we should make light of ourselves. When it comes to someone who's young, he's not so great, we should be more at ease. But when it comes to everyone, we should accept them with happiness. Rabbi Akiva taught us that lightheadedness and joking leads one to the greatest sins ultimately. Tradition is the greatest protector for Torah. Giving a tith is the protector for wealth. Taking vows for those that are fitting for taking vows is the protector for separating one from sin, and the greatest protector for wisdom is silence.